On today's episode of Heads in the Cloud, Graham and I are joined by Vince O, who is the Director of Product Management at Telesign. We're going to talk about security, authentication, ducks, dogs, and soy sauce. So stick around.
See you later.
Heads in the Cloud with your host, David Portnowitz, Graham Potter, and John Roth.
Welcome to today's episode of Heads in the Cloud. I'm David Portnowitz.
And I'm Graham Potter.
Welcome back, Mr. Potter. Welcome
back,
Potter.
Dude, how's it
going? It's like, welcome back, Potter.
You know, I finally got a key to get in here, so I found where you were.
I thought we just scheduled it on the 1 or 2 days a month you're in the office.
No. What are you talking about?
Well, you know.
You're doing these in secret now. You're earning money without me.
You're going to come into the office one day. I'm going to have moved into your office because I need that window.
You're salivating them.
I'm going to get that window.
You like that office.
I'm going to get that window.
You do like that office.
Yeah, you're going to move in. We're going to switch.
Actually, it's big enough. You can move in there if you like.
It is big enough to have two people in there.
Yeah, you could. I've got other things that live in there as well.
When I originally asked you about this and I said we could switch, you said that my office was like a rat closet.
Yeah, it is. It's like a little bunker.
You said, I can't go in there. It's like a rat closet.
Like
I'll be claustrophobic.
Closet. Claustrophobic, yeah. It is. It's like a little bunker you've got there. Yeah.
Well, it's my bunker.
Yeah, who knows. Anyway, you're wearing some interesting socks today, David.
I've got my, these are the state of Michigan on my socks.
Brown shoes, listeners. He's got brown shoes, blue socks with, what is it, white? Wow.
With a hole in my pants.
Check those out.
It just occurred today. Which is very, very disappointing.
Hole in your pants.
J. Crew, if you're listening, please send me another pair.
Man's got a hole in his pants. Also spilled his lunch down his white shirt.
We're just really getting into it today.
just thought I'd tell our listeners that.
You're trying to paint a real picture.
Aren't you pleased I'm back?
So you're just going for a full artistic version
of
me.
Yeah. I haven't seen you for a while.
That's
so
true.
Anybody tell you your hair's getting longer? Oh, it grows quicker in the summer, doesn't it?
You saw my tweets. Look, he's following me on Twitter.
I'm more connected than you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's true. So we're going to have Vince O from Telesign on here
in
a bit.
I'm looking forward to that.
So Telesign does two-factor voice and SMS and authentication.
And anybody out there doesn't know what two-factor is, look it up and use it.
Yes, because if you're
protect yourselves.
You know, it's a scary world out there.
Yeah, it is.
So you got to make sure that you keep your stuff secure, especially when it comes to your finances, your credit cards, your government issued identity type stuff.
It's got to be done. There's no reason not to. It's
simple.
One of the easiest technologies to kind of use. So.
I'm interested to hear from Vince on kind of where the industry is going. You know, where the two factor space.
Yeah, what's next?
You know, your pretty common use cases of getting a text or getting a call and doing, you know, something like that.
Yeah, I can remember the call thing years ago. Actually, Google did that on Gmail.
Yeah.
And I've experienced that. But
they've made it a little bit easier now.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
But yeah, well, what else is happening, Graham? How are you feeling? You running?
No, I'm not actually. I'm walking every morning. That's good. I do a 3-mile walk every morning with my good lady wife. It is hot out.
With your lady wife? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, my good lady wife. Yeah, yeah, you need to be out by about 6 o'clock.
Is that a British expression?
Yeah, of course it is. We need to be out around about 6 o'clock in the morning and a quick.
So you're out 3-mile walk. 6 to about 9 doing
about
that?
About an 8 on a Sunday and in the pool and do a few lengths. So I'm maintaining my fitness, but I'm not
running. Look great.
I'm not running.
Hair's brown.
Actually, no. It's not brown, but
we won't go there.
We won't confuse our listeners.
All right, let's give Vince a call. What do you think?
Yeah.
All right.
Pay the phone bill?
Les, call him. All right, Graham and I are now joined by Vince O, who is the Director of Product Management at Telesign, coming to us live from Seattle. Right, Vince? How are you today?
I am doing pretty well. How about yourself?
And so just to get it out for our listeners, Vince, tell people it's not raining in Seattle. just so that we get that out in the open right now.
Yeah, it is a good day today in Seattle.
It's probably a better chance that it's raining here in Sarasota.
It's been raining every day, flooding. We've had a lot of rain over the last few days, but it's kind of typical Florida. So tell us a bit about yourself, Vince.
Yeah, you've got a very interesting background.
Sure, sure. So, you know, I've been kind of a long time in the mobile and wireless industry, kind of over the last almost 20 years now, working in some facet that has to do with mobile technologies, telco. You know, I've worked with mobile operators, Verizon and T-Mobile. I've worked with mobile applications, with AOL, et cetera. You know, some IoT with Intel, et cetera. And so, you know, after that, you know, I joined Telesign, you know, after working for a lot of really large companies.
Yeah.
And I've been here for about the last 5 years or so. You know, so, you know, it's been a pretty good ride.
So you were at Verizon, Motorola, AOL, T-Mobile, Intel, and then Telesign. So you were at these massive companies you mentioned. And then Telesign, how many people are at Telesign now? What does Telesign do?
So Telesign is about 300 and I think I want to say around 320 or so employees at the moment.
Oh, it's not that small, right?
No.
Okay. Yeah. It's a pretty good size
Intel.
Company.
So yeah, that's true. Not T-Mobile either. So pretty much based in the U.S. or do you have a presence elsewhere?
Yeah, so we do have a global presence. Our largest offices are located in, you know, our headquarters, Marina Del Rey, California, which is in the L.A. area. And then we have actually a pretty large office, multi-functional office located in Belgrade, Serbia. And then we have some satellite offices in other parts of the world, you know, in Asia, et cetera. And then we have myself up here in Seattle and one of my counterparts. We don't have an office in Seattle, but we like it that way. And then we have a sales office in San Francisco.
And tell us a little bit about the history of Telesign, sort of how they got their start, what they're doing now, who are some of your customers. Just give our listeners kind of some background on the company.
Sure. So, you know, Telesign, you know, what we are, we're a CPaaS, a communication platform as a service. And, you know, we have a unique differentiation around providing a combination of communications and data solutions that really help enable our customers to intelligently engage with their end users throughout, you know, the course of the entire customer lifecycle. We were founded in 2005. So we've been around for a while. And, you know, our co-founders, I think we had three co-founders, two of which are actually still at Telesign, one of which is our CEO today. You know, they founded the company around this idea of the phone number being the most readily available, unique, like identifier that's available for and can be associated with users on the web or in mobile applications. And so the first product that we launched was actually verification of a phone number using voice calls. And so that's where the company started. And we have, you know, a number of patents around two-factor authentication using SMS and voice. And so, you know, we kind of grew up, you know, from there, you know, working with voice technologies and SMS, but really, you know, the goal of helping protect user accounts on the web. And for the first few years, it was pretty slow going. And but you know, fraud really started to become a thing. You know, as far as you know, websites and e-commerce, et cetera. And so, you know, we started onboarding some, you know, pretty large brands, and so powering their you know, voice and SMS two-factor authentication. Over time, the customers also want to start to, you know, utilize us for other scenarios. They want to know more about these phone numbers that are being added to accounts. And so, you know, we started to provide data solutions, the first of which is, you know, provide a pretty simple, you know, a response of based on a phone number, you know, can you provide me with the phone type and the carrier that is associated with, because the phone type associated with number actually can be pretty highly, you know, correlated to certain types of fraud. And so, yeah. And so, you know, during, you know, either onboarding flows or, you know, registration flows, having that information and kind of blocking out certain phone types became valuable. And so we started to serve our customers in the registration flows as well as account protection. And then we started to then, you know, build out some of our data portfolio around being more intelligent about how we, you know, do this, how we predict potentially, you know, fraud on an account creation based on the phone number being used. And so we had then, in addition to a number of data products that provide certain data points, we also added more of a real-time scoring system based on, you know, particular phone numbers. So any phone number around the world, we can give you a risk score associated with that number that basically is kind of a sliding scale that helps you determine the likelihood of fraud being associated with the particular phone number, and which we call that score today. It's a pretty simple name for the product. So we just give a score. And so we kind of evolved from there, and then really started becoming a leader in identity authentication, specifically around two-factor auth.
Let me just stop you there.
Help
our listeners try to understand what's a real world use case around the authentication that you're doing. Like, who are you? Are you doing it for certain, like for banks, or are you doing it for financial institutions, or are you doing it actually for the phone companies themselves to help reduce spam, or, you know, what give me an example.
Sure. So it's funny because it's almost all of the above, right? So, you know, we serve a variety of different verticals, but, you know, anybody that has a presence, you know, on the web or on, you know, via mobile. So anybody that has user accounts that require authentication and require protection, you know, is where we serve. And, but, like, you know, our customers are, you know, generally historically been like larger enterprises. And so we, you know, started serving like some of the largest web properties in the world. So, you know, 20 of the top 25 web properties, largest web and mobile properties in the world, utilize TeleSign today. And, you know, that's gone basically like large scale, you know, email properties and, you know, social networks, you know, instant messaging, et cetera. And then that had expanded into, you know, we've started acquiring a lot of financial services customers, et cetera. So really, it's, you know, we don't discriminate. It's really anybody who needs account protection and sure. They have, you know, is what we serve.
So how do you drive that that new business? Do you have a sales team that kind of works at it, or is that kind of developed through channels?
Yeah, so we have you know, probably the biggest driver today is direct sales. And so, you know, my time at TeleSign, you know, I've really always felt that we've had an excellent sales organization. And I was part of that team for a while. So, you know, not to toot my own horn, but, you know, we've really, really had a, you know, good organization when it comes to sales, and we're pretty lean. You know, we don't have a huge sales staff, but we just really know how to get it done, and we've built some huge relationships over the years. And some of those relationships, I mean, they're, you know, for example, we have an event annually called the CAB. I think it's the Customer Advocacy Board or something like that. And, you know, we invite some of, you know, our customers to come in, very small scale, you know, probably about, you know, 15 to 20 individuals come in and just participate and just discuss various issues around the industry, you know, and it's, you know, it's pretty crazy, like the type of folks that you get, you know, very like C-level types of folks that we've established relationships with over the years. And it's just, you know, I think those relationships really go a long way. And then, so the other part is the, you know, we do have a channel. And so we do have a partnership program where we have channel partners that, you know, resell or, you know, provide referral services on our behalf. We typically haven't been, you know, taking, you know, more of the self-service channel as an area of focus for us. So while we do have, you know, on our website, you can go sign up and you can, you know, use our services, you know, the type of customers that we've attracted over time and we've had most success with is really, you know, mid-market and above.
Yeah.
So mostly large enterprise.
So it's a little bit more complicated than just signing up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so we do serve that purpose as well, and so we have customers that come through and sign up for us. But you know, it just seems like over time, like our differentiation, or one of the areas of our differentiation, has been really around the ability to provide kind of high touch, white glove type services to our customers. And it makes sense because, right, I mean, we really, the first few customers that, you know, we onboarded back many, many years ago were like, you know, the largest, you know, largest mail property in the world, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
right? So
yeah.
It's just like, we had to really develop that kind of environment so that we can serve our customers.
So if you've got, you know, you're doing all this authentication on the web for these big internet giants, how do you keep yourself secure? How does your security work on your end so that you're helping to reduce fraud for them?
Yeah, I mean, so from our side, I mean, we do have a security team. So we have a privacy and security organization that, you know, ensures that, you know, our security practices are, you know, up to snuff. And, you know, we invest a significant amount in that to make sure that
Hope so.
because obviously, you know, we're working in that space as a vendor in that space, and so therefore, you know, anything that happens to us could create risk to our customers, which we don't want. And so, and you know, we're pretty open, you know, with working very closely with our customers to make sure that you know, we're meeting their requirements, and you know, if you know, they have the opportunity to audit us if they need, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, we do have that kind of program in place.
So what I know, I was using your product by visiting a kind of a high profile website for some security. Is it something that's branded, or is it powered by? You know, am I likely to see that?
I would say that most of the time you will not. So, you know, I talk about TeleSign, like if I'm in a Uber or Lyft and I'm talking to the driver, I'll say, hey, you've definitely used us at some point.
Right,
you just never know about it. And so, and it's twofold. One is, you know, obviously we're selling services to enterprises, but two, our customers, again, you know, a good portion of our customers are using us for security type scenarios, and they don't necessarily want to
expose.
Exactly. So, you know, that gives us this unique challenge of, you know, working with huge brands, but not being able to talk about it from a marketing perspective.
Yeah, we know that. We know the feeling.
Yeah, we
sell a lot in a white label fashion. So we have similar conversations about, yeah, if you work in this chain or you work here, you've actually used our product, but you have no idea you've done it. So yeah, we feel your pain there. So I see you're working, you know, director of product management specifically on CPaaS. And we're actually pretty familiar. We have a CPaaS product of our own here at Star to Star that we use for integrations with our UC services. You know, what kind of integrations or what kind of CPaaS work are you doing on your end?
Sure. So, you know, I guess just to frame that up a little bit, I think in the course of, you know, working in kind of the verification space for a number of years, you know, we actually ended up developing a, you know, high quality, I'd say, you know, probably best of breed platform when it comes to SMS and voice. And so, and the reason why is because, you know, we've had to, again, every time, you know, the customer is deploying TeleSign, they're putting us right in the middle of their login and sign up flows. And so if our stuff doesn't work, then, like, you know, people don't log in and people don't get to sign up, which is kind of the worst thing that could happen, right? So that's, you know, that's why, you know, our platform, you know, we felt like is best of breed. TeleSign stands for quality, et cetera. And so, you know, over the last probably 3 or 4 years or so, we've evolved and started providing general communications. So, you know, as more of a general CPaaS. And so, like, you can utilize our SMS and voice APIs to do anything you'd like. I mean, in terms of anything legal. so, you know, sending, you know, alerts, reminders, notifications, two-way communication flows. So customer engagement types of use cases, both on the SMS side and as voice side as well, where we've launched a new voice API, kind of, I think, the November of last year, kind of leveraging our synergies with our parent company, Bix. And so I don't know if you guys are familiar with Bix at all. Yeah,
that was the acquisition in 2017, was it?
That's correct. And so, you know, Bix is one of the largest providers of data roaming services or voice and SMS roaming services on behalf of mobile operators. And they're also one of the largest wholesale voice carriers in the world. And so when they acquired us, we saw some unique synergies there to leverage, again, the wholesale voice and the direct carrier relationships that they have, along with the API and software capabilities of TeleSign.
Freudian slip.
Yeah, exactly. Previous boss.
I'm guessing you're still a T-Mobile user then.
Actually, my wife works there, so again, it's really.
So, is the merger going through? Is that a conversation for later? What's the deal?
Was that?
Is the merger going through with Sprint, or is that a conversation for maybe later? Or what do you think?
Oh, I mean, it sounds like it's clear, but I'll anything outside of that.
As a Sprint user, as like one of the five Sprint users left, I have to say, I hope that the merger goes through.
Well, as a T-Mobile user, I don't know as I want you. So.
Sorry to interrupt you there, Vince.
No problem. I hope it goes through as well. I think that they're doing some really good things at T-Mobile, and I think the additional scale really going to help them compete with Verizon, AT&T. Anyway, so it's totally off topic. So
you're doing CPaaS, voice and SMS and things like that, authentication. Are you seeing more and more voice authentication practices happening? Because I think everyone's pretty familiar with the idea of you logging into something, you getting a text message, you're putting a code in, or you're getting a text message and it requires your fingerprint on your phone, or, you know, your Face ID, or logging into Gmail or something like that as a secondary. But, you know, I don't think I have specifically run into a ton of use cases where they've called me for like a voice authentication or something like that.
Well, I mean, there's the, you know, kind of the parallel use case on voice where, you know, they'll call you and then they'll, you know, via recording or via, generally it's text to speech, you know, the machine will say a code for you, and
sure,
then you just have to punch it back in. So there's that use case. We've been doing that forever.
Yeah.
There's an increasing, an amount of interest around just the biometric authentication. And one of those biometrics is voice. And so that's we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of evolution that's happening in that space, and that's something that we could potentially look at as well. But
that's what I was kind of getting at, is that could you authenticate based on, you know, just calling, and then is this David Portnoy's? Yes. Okay, great. You know what I mean? Something like that. Something as simple as that.
Right. And I think that's utilized, and it's pretty valuable in, customer support type scenarios where you're trying to reduce friction during that authentication process.
Mm-hmm.
There are companies out there that do that. Some of those folks, you know, we talk to on a regular basis, and, you know, we may look to partner with somebody like that. And, you know, with the reach that we have, and, you know, again, kind of working in the similar space, it may make sense to do some kind of partnership.
Cool. Interesting. So what do you see now for the company in terms of growth, other technologies, without giving the game away, would they drive that kind of business?
Yeah. So there are a few different areas where, you know, we're looking at as growth opportunities. One is the continued evolution of our data products. So
right.
Over the last few years, we've actually put a lot of emphasis on gathering data directly from the mobile operator, so having a direct connection to the mobile operator, we can leverage via our friends at Bix to kind of in their relationships to acquire data and then make that data available to the enterprise, and also doing it in a way as to where we can be consultative, and so that we understand all the rules and regulations that are associated with a particular market if you wanted to acquire data. So like being able to help our customers kind of navigate through that, but leverage these, data points that are, they're really, you know, of high value, in a lot of different scenarios, and to really help them, again, optimize, their user flows and their customer experiences. And so that's one of the areas. And so, you know, I think we're already being recognized as, one of the global leaders when it comes to international data, because I think the data business, being able to, acquire data from mobile operators, it's grown more quickly and evolved more quickly in the U.S. versus other parts of the world.
Right.
And so in a lot of cases, we are actually building really the first kind of integration. So like we're going out there and talking to carriers and selling them on the value and, getting integrated and being able to, provide data. So that's one area that's going to be huge for us. The other area is, the second area I would say is around, building out communications, general purpose communications. As I mentioned, we built out our voice APIs. We'll be investing in providing SIP trunking as well to customers, which kind of, I'm sure you guys are very familiar with those areas, and
yep.
And leveraging Bix's international termination footprint to do so. And then also continuing to kind of evolve our messaging business. Again, we have SMS today. We're actually going to be launching RCS here in kind of the next week or so as a beta, and investing in more omni-channel messaging, OTT integrations, etc. And so that's the second area of growth for us. And then last but not least is looking at other verification solutions. So TeleSign as a leader in two-factor authentication, we want to stay on top of that. And while SMS and voice is the most proven solution around getting mass adoption of two-factor authentication and protecting user accounts, we need to invest in the potential alternatives in the future, right? So we'll be looking at I won't disclose what specifically, but
no worries. You don't got to give out any trade secrets here.
Yeah, exactly. But we'll be investing in new technologies and to serve similar purposes.
Very good. So it sounds like you guys are really doing fantastic work and prime for real big things. I mean, as we can attest, fraud happens every day. I think it was a big Capital One.
Saw that.
Kind of fraud case that came out last night, yesterday. It's an ever increasing sort of occurrence. And so, services like TeleSign are going to become more and more valuable as data is, priceless in some certain situations. I mean, it's running our lives, I guess.
Yeah. And we think there's a gold mine out there in terms of, all the data that's the carriers have that can be, again, used, for the right purposes, which is to, make the web and, our mobile interactions, kind of a safer place.
Very good. Well, we always kind of ask two last questions here, Vince, at the end, and they're a little bit out, out there, but we got to know.
We did say this was relaxed and nothing too formal.
So one, what is your favorite sandwich?
Oh, Philly cheesesteak.
The old Seattle Philly cheesesteak, huh? They got good ones out there?
No, not really, but they're good. Like, the mid-level is of a Philly cheesesteak you can't go wrong with, so, I love it.
Oh man! So you go with the original? You go with beef? You going with the cheese whiz? Or what do you prefer?
Beef. I don't know. I'll just go with whatever I like. I like to put some the mushrooms in there.
Oh yeah,
good man.
Yeah.
Good man. Like a bit of organic stuff in there.
Right? You gotta have a little mushrooms. I'm a fan of the mushrooms as well. Yeah, absolutely.
A bit like a mushroom sometimes.
And then Graham, what's our second question?
Oh yeah, we do like to know if you have any pets at all. I mean, it sounds crazy, but we've had some amazing things from the normal sort of dogs and cats and things like that to worms and chinchillas and
all sorts of stuff.
What, so
you got any pets, wow, Vince?
I do have a pet, but not as cool as a chinchilla. I have a miniature poodle.
Cool.
And she is 11 years old. And so, I'll just make a quick comment on this one. She's very special to my wife and I, because I actually gave her to my wife as a gift, like in our first kind of anniversary of dating.
You would.
Wonderful man you are.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's, yeah, so she's very special to us. So I hope she's around with us for a long time.
What's her name?
Soy.
Soy.
Soy, like soy sauce, because yes. She's a black miniature poodle.
Oh, very cool.
Awesome.
That's awesome. Well, Vince, we really appreciate you giving us the time today.
Thanks so much.
You guys are doing phenomenal work, really cool stuff. And hopefully we can catch up again in the future.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having me. And looking forward to chatting again real soon.
Yeah.
Thanks,
it up.
Vince.
And thanks. Right. Thanks for making the web a safer place, my friend.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye.
All right.
See you. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
So that was a really good conversation we had with Vince. I guess the most often two-factor I run into is with my bank and with email.
Banks, I've had some things recently with the government. I won't tell you what.
Yeah, please keep those to yourself.
Keep that secret. Things like social media as well. Now.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
and I would encourage our users as well. If you're not using it,
you should
be using it. And it's such an easy,
yeah,
it's such an easy and obvious technology to use. You think back to the days when you used to have a little token thing and all those things for secure passwords, and you're walking around with this device, you know, that we all know and love, and it's just perfect.
What I really like what Google has done is, if you sign into your Gmail account, like on a computer you haven't been on, they actually just have you log, if you have your cell phone with you, they just have you log into your Gmail app on your phone.
Confirm.
And then it automatically confirms that, like, you had your phone, you're telling, so it instead of like sending you a text and typing that in, it just
pops up. There's another sign in here.
Exactly.
Is that valid?
I think that's pretty cool. But, you know, I use the one I know from my bank, I get a ton of, every time we log in, my wife and I log in, we use two-factor because, you know, you just never know. And, you know, I mentioned it when we were talking to Vince about Capital One yesterday, but I mean, you know, it's
huge.
Did you read the story?
I didn't read the
one
story,
person. No. A woman in the Pacific Northwest, might have been in the Seattle area, I can't remember exactly, but she was boasting about it online, about how she had done it, and that's how they found out. Because she was basically like, look what I did. And so it wasn't like done by some foreign, organization that you might think. It was
some shady, somebody in a back room somewhere.
Someone who apparently had used to work for AWS and had like access to that kind of stuff. And so just funny how, silly.
Scary.
Yeah. Silly.
Absolutely
and scary.
Scary.
But, you know, I think as we put more and more of ourselves online, it's going to become more important that every site you log into, you're probably going to have to authenticate ways. Yeah.
I think you have to. I see so many people with comments that come back, you know, Facebook obviously being a classic one, or I've been hacked or whatever. Don't respond to any of these messages you see to me. And I always just respond back and go two factor.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's no excuse.
So you're one of those guys.
There's no excuse. I'm one of those guys.
Yeah. Trolling them.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah. Don't call me a troll.
No, but I mean, it's true. You really should. It's not hard to do, especially with your cell phone there. It makes it super easy.
Even for an old guy like me, I'm getting my head around it. So.
Yeah. It's a big head to get around.
Yeah.
So, I do like the idea of using biometric things like fingerprint or face ID or voice or things like that, that are harder to replicate than just getting a text message. And because, you know, you could have someone's phone or you could have their phone number redirected to wherever, and you could get the, you know, so I think that is going to become more and more important, as, you know, you want to have a unique identifier that's just specifically you. I think as we get more sophisticated, I don't think, you know, Sprint could call me today and just, I could say David and they would be like, yes, that's Dave. Like they don't have
a bit of voice record.
Yeah.
I think they'd struggle with mine anyway. So
yeah,
probably.
I think a lot of the Brits I'd struggle with, you know, it's very, very hard to understand.
What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say that, you know, it's a very delicate,
Delicate nation. We are a delicate nation.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's, things like, you know, facial recognition, fingerprints, you know, any biometric, I think that's the way to go.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So, you know, very, very cool stuff. He mentioned they had a channel program, and they sell direct. So if you're a partner and you're looking for, get into this kind of space and you've got customers asking, you know, check out Telesign.
Want to integrate this kind of technology? It's cool stuff.
Yeah. If you've got customers that are, you know, looking to, for you to do these kinds of things that are not straight out of the box, you know, integrations that you may have access to today, you know, this is a cool company to look at. So, yeah, very good.
Likes Philly, what is it, Philly Sam? Is it?
Philly cheesesteak.
Philly cheesesteak, yeah. I'm not a big fan of that sort
what?
Of
what?
Well, it's just, I don't know, just in a sandwich, it's like, meh.
We have a really good Philly cheesesteak place here in Sarasota.
I've been to one. I'm not sure South Philly? It's the same one. Yeah.
It's called South Philly. And
it just looks to me like a mouthful.
It's delicious. Yeah. I get the chicken, though. I got to tell you, I go for chicken.
Yeah.
Mushrooms, though, hot peppers.
Oof.
Delicious.
They do a duck one.
They do a duck one?
No, do they do a duck one?
A duck cheesesteak sandwich? I don't know if they do it. Yeah. A cheese duck sandwich?
I told you, I went to Sage the other day and I saw a duck in a jam jar. How about that?
Like the whole duck?
Yeah. I thought it was a bit inhumane, actually, putting a duck inside of it.
It's just like some kind of comedy routine you're doing?
It's weird. They brought it out. It was really interesting the way they presented it at the table. Yeah. It was one of our partners.
Yeah.
Took us out for dinner and the gentleman ordered the duck and the duck appeared in a jar.
Was it like pate?
No, it was, I almost want to say it was like chopped up.
Yeah.
You know, fine. But
duck
it,
bits.
But it was obviously duck bits. Yeah. Marinated in whatever. But it had been marinated for about 36 hours or whatever. And they came to the table, unscrewed the jar, and out came the duck.
Oh, so the duck fell out of the jar.
Yeah. but, yeah, I thought it was really interesting. But anyway, we're digressing a little bit.
Yeah, we're off.
And you mentioned something about Soy.
Yeah.
The dog.
Dog named Soy.
Man's got a dog named Soy. Yeah, how about that? That's pretty cool. Have you got a dog yet?
No, I have a fish named Fish Sauce.
Really?
I've been keeping that joke for a while.
Yeah, why don't you carry on keeping it yourself, Dave? Do us all a favor.
All right. I think that's enough for today.
That's good enough.
Yeah, all right. So for Heads in the Cloud, I'm David Portnowitz.
I'm Graham Potter, of course.
We'll get you next time. Thanks.